Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
George Floyd was killed on Memorial Day 3 years ago. This week on Notes from America, we remember his impact on us. And we ask, how do the stories we tell about both Black life and death shape our future? Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Trump was like, can I do summer hours? And it's like, no, you're the president.
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
You're fired.
You don't get summer hours.
You don't get like summer Fridays.
Yeah, like, get the fuck out of here. It's 9 a.m.
Yeah,
to 9 a.m. every
like,
day.
Like, you never sleep. Don't you understand this is going to age you horribly?
My name is Benjamin. Benjamin Button.
How old are you?
7, but I look a lot older.
Literally, you know when you go to, like, the movies and then, like, you watch a movie and then you, like, leave and you see there's, like, a raisinette that's been on the floor for, like, 3 weeks? That's going to be him.
It really changes you, I feel like. He's going to be, like, literally a raisin in the sun, but, like, not in a good way.
Not in the way that wins awards.
Like, not in, like, a gorgeous way. There's a raisin in the sun, and it's Trump. Dude, we're going to get so much flack for this. Oh, my freaking gush. Welcome to Two Dope Queens. It's me, Jay Willie.
And it's me, P. Robbie.
And this is a Two Dope Queens bonus episode, aka a boner episode.
We got something, a little something, to whet your appetite and your panties until we come back in full effect with season 3.
And this episode is just full of dudes. It really is a boner episode.
Ugh, that was so hot. It was so steamy. I mean, we've got Kevin Avery and John Glazer. They're hilarious. They're men. You're gonna love them.
This is, like, so man-friendly, which is unusual for us, I feel like.
It's just more, it's not that we're anti-men. It's just, like, we try to just not have tons of white dudes on because, like, we get it. We've heard all of your stories. We heard all of them. Let's keep this show moving along. He is a writer on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
He has
a fantastic podcast called Denzel Washington is the... Wow.
You got some fans.
You got some fans, boo-boo.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. Yes.
Okay, don't blow up our spot. We got a job.
Calm down.
We came in early. We came here early. We had a call time. We, you know, it's our job.
Okay. Right, yeah. Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of all time, period, is the name of the podcast. It's fantastic.
Great.
You guys have listened to it. Please give it up for Kevin Avery!
Phoebe and Jessica right there. Keep it going for them. Oh, my God. How are you? It's nice to be back in New York. I was gone for a little bit. I've been back for like a few weeks, but I was away back in California, and it's always weird to come back to New York because I feel like I have a very love-hate relationship with. Because here's the thing: someone was, you know, okay, yeah, I was having a conversation with somebody. I've only lived here, like, it was four years this summer that I've lived here, which is blown by. And I was talking with somebody about, like, when are you really a New Yorker? And some people say, 5 years. Some people say, it's like 10 years. But I figured it out. I feel like you become a New Yorker when you realize, oh, shit, I got to get out of this city. You know what I mean? That's happening to me now. Like, what the fuck? I have such a love-hate relationship. Here's the thing. I love that I live in New York. But I think I hate New York. You know what I mean? Does that happen to anybody else? I like being out and telling people, yeah, I live in New York. And then I come back here, I'm like, fuck, I'm in New York. What's going on? It's great to be back. That's what I'm saying, everybody. I was out. I was visiting the family. And that's all of them, too. Fucking all of my family. I'm not going to recommend that at all. When's the last time you saw all of your fucking family? Like, I had this moment. I was at this it was a big, like, banquet hall. At one point, I'm in this hall, all these tables and chairs, all these people, and I'm standing at one side of it. You ever look around, look at your entire family, and you realize, oh, this is the problem. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I get it. It's not just this, it's this. I love my family, but they, if you can't tell just by listening to me as a black guy, I grew up, you know, very Huxtableized household, if you will, you know, take that as you want it. I don't. I'm okay. But just to give you a sense of the people I grew up around, my dad recently announced to the family he's joining a French food and wine club. All right, fine. You know, go ahead, black man. You know, just fucking weird thing to announce at dinner. And my mom a while ago was knighted. Yeah, yeah. Your confusion is appropriate. It's weird, right? It's real. It's a real order. Been around since the Crusade. I've seen the fucking velvet cape and the weird scepter-like thing. Woman won't watch Game of Thrones to save her life, but when I come home, she's traipsing across that lawn like she's done some shit. And it's just, I don't know. And my friends love it. They're all very excited. Oh my God, your mom's a knight. What does that make you? Whiter, I guess. I don't know. It's the best I can guess. So, and I got this brother, he's, you know, whatever, Brian. I don't know, I said that's his name, Brian Trevor. Doesn't that sound like a condescending asshole? Brian Trevor. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love my brother, but Brian, Brian's the kind of dude that would wear a suit to the beach, you know what I mean? And then be indignant if you called him on it, like, what, it's cream, what the fuck? Like that type of, all right, take off the coat, detective. They put us in this, we grew up in like this very white neighborhood, and they put us in these all white private schools when we were very young. And it was a good school, and we got in, you know, very excited to get us in, you know, yay, we did it. But then like 2 or 3 years in, they realized, wait a minute, our kids are becoming the Frasier and Niles Crane of the black community. Some shit has to be done. So they left us in the school, but then they put us in this youth group. It's this all black youth group. I see some black people here. Some of you know where I'm going with this. This organization called Jack and Jill. Okay. White people. Look at these black people. Look at them. See how that divided the room with all these black people? When people are like, yeah, they're like, fuck them. Like, it was a very, because what is it? Like, a lot of black people know Jack and Jill is this sort of bougie black people organization. All right, calm the fuck down. I was fine, but so basically the idea behind it, for those who don't know, Jack and Jill's is an organization where once a month, groups of black kids in age, it was like what, 4 to 18 or something like that. Yeah, you weren't in Jack and Jill, were you? Okay. But so, you know, yeah, they get together to do various activities, right? Go to an amusement park, go white water rafting, go to a museum, whatever. Great idea in theory. Except when you're a black kid that hangs out with nothing but white kids day in and day out, and then one day out of the month, you go hang out with a bunch of black kids you've never met before, don't know shit about, aren't from the same neighborhood. That is some stressful shit. Yeah, you can't just hang out. You gotta study like it's the bar exam. Because culturally, there were things that we weren't aware, you know, and my parents, they didn't give a fuck. They would just drop us off at some undisclosed location, like, good luck, go be black. What the fuck? No, wait. I don't have my equipment. You know, we weren't ready. You know, then we'd come back all angry, you know, hey, how was it? Well, God damn it, no one told me Will Smith and the Fresh Prince were the same damn person. I didn't have the information. Whatever. I know shit now. I know what's going on. I went from like an all-white, like private school to an all-black college, and which was a whole other weird culture shock because, like, I went to college in the South in the '90s. So yeah, there were things going on then and there at that time in that place that weren't happening anywhere else in the country, nay, the world. Just, you know, like. trends and styles. And you know, like, for instance, I'll give you an example. In the South in the 90s, and see, I was trying to blend in and acclimate, you know. But in the South in the 90s, it was in style at one point for young black men to walk around, I shit you not, in knee-high riding boots. I know now. But back then, I just thought, and I don't know why I thought it was cool. I guess because Han Solo wore a pair, but he had a Wookiee and a ship with him. I just look like an asshole in a pair of essentially what are women's shoes, walking around, and you can't, your gait's all fucked up. And, you know, I see a lot of you looking at me and judging me, but we've all done that thing where you put on the outfit that makes you feel self-conscious the minute you walk out of the door. Like, as soon as you step through the threshold, you realize, this is wrong! Like, I had that moment, but I just kept walking. Like, douchebag. And, I wore them one day, and that was the day I learned, if you're going to be a man in a pair of black knee-high riding boots, you really need to have a message, and that message better be the British are coming, otherwise, you look like an ace. Oh. Found out later, the friend who loaned me those boots was gay. You know, and he was coming out to me, too, and I wanted to be supportive of him, I was trying to help him out, you know, he's one of my best friends, you know, oh, I didn't know who to turn to, what to do, you know. But the whole time, I'm just looking at him going, fucking boots. Like, that was all I could think of. Later, my friends, you know, told the story to a bunch of friends later, and they were like, well, didn't you know he was gay? Couldn't you tell he was gay? Well, no. He was a black guy in the 90s. Yeah, right? You know exactly, in the R&B 90s. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, look, let me explain something to you people. If you were black and gay in the 90s, you had to be gay. Because you were competing against straight dudes walking around in big baggy, those hammer pants flowing in the breeze, and white silky shirts, and, you know, patent leather shoes with giant belt buckles on them, and hair that was all wavy and processed and gumby to the side. Like, if you were black and gay in the 90s, you couldn't just come out of the closet. You had to kick that shit down, like, nigga, I'm gay! You didn't mean that shit. You had to mean it. Because here comes Boyz II Men, and they're in yellow jeans. Thank you very much. I gotta go. I'm Kevin Avery. See you later.
Give it up for Kevin Avery!
Two Dope Queens is supported by BetterHelp. The winter season can be a lot. Therapy can be a bright spot amid the holiday stress, the seasonal depression, or whatever you might be experiencing. Visit BetterHelp.com/queens today to get 10% off your first month.
This week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, the government lawyer who wants to rein in Amazon, maybe even break it up.
Amazon is now using this monopoly power in ways that hurt both the consumers as well as the merchants. We want everything to be on the table, including breakups.
Lina Khan of the FTC on the New Yorker Radio Hour. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Because we have a special guest tonight.
Surprise!
He's so funny.
I've just been obsessed with this guy forever. And yeah, we did a show together in Boston like a year or two ago. He was so lovely and wonderful. He's been on Parks and Rec.
Like,
Trainwreck. Please get up for John Glazer!
That was really cool of you to fall asleep while we asked you.
Do you
want to
share a stool?
Just let me put my water down. Get a good stretch.
Thanks for coming out, John.
Yeah, thank you for making your way out here.
No problem. I love a show that I can stretch out my hamstrings when I need a drink.
Well, we got that covered.
This is a solid stretch I learned from my physical therapist, you know, that I'll demonstrate just to get a drink.
Why do you go to a physical therapist?
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
Because I'm an old man, yeah. I was having some lower back issues, no big deal.
This is what I'm worried about. Do you feel like having kids, you got two beautiful kids, you feel like that ages you a little bit?
Sure it does. I mean, it's just, I'm not saying that as a negative, it's just, you know, the natural just... the joy is unparalleled, but so is the stress. You know, you have a child, and it's like, oh God, all right, this is the greatest. And then like, oh, there's so much anxiety leading up to the birth of your child. Also, we adopted our daughter, so there's a lot of stress and anxiety leading up to that. But then it's not like all the stress and anxiety. I want the pregnancy to go well, just a healthy. I want my wife to be okay, the child to be okay. And it's not like the child is born and then, okay, we did it. Then it's like, okay, we did it. And now this is my life. And then it doesn't ever go away. That's your life forever. And it's the greatest and the hardest, and it's just the best.
Yeah. And so you have a boy and a girl, one of each, boy and a girl, black, white.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is where we play a game show, which is which? Who's black, who's white?
The audience, describe them to me.
Yeah. We wake them up with the Michael Jackson song, Black and White. We just, you know, we're trying to be cool parents. We overcompensate like crazy, my wife and I. Let me ask you this. I used to have a massive afro. I had head of hair.
I loved it.
I'll show you the photo backstage. I don't know if I ever showed it to you.
You've braided it down before.
I cornrowed my hair because my hair was huge, and I love getting my hair worked down. It feels so good.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
The best. And I just thought, this will be fun because my hair is so big. Just for fun, just to see what it looks like and mostly just what it feels like. And it took like 3 hours, and it was just like, oh, heaven. And I've really thought, I have to say, maybe not.
It's like literally trash for me, but I love that you love it.
Yeah.
It's like a twilight, like this feels like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
I like having my head worked on. It feels good.
Yeah.
Cool.
No,
it does.
But I think because we're black women, so we do this a lot. We're like, this isn't a vacation. Well, like, it's sandals for you. You know?
But like for us, this is like a company trip to Cabo.
Yeah.
Listen, if it's sandals, then I want to be there every day. Listen, after a week, it really started to hurt. But then taking it out felt good. I feel like if I were doing it a lot, I think I'd love it.
Damn, cool.
Okay.
And maybe I'm wrong, but I enjoyed it thoroughly. It felt very, very good.
And what was the reaction?
This is gross. It felt good in and out.
What was the reaction from the world of you being a white man with cornrows walking around?
I wasn't necessarily walking around like, check it out. If anything, I was very self-conscious about it, and I was wearing a hat and like showing it to friends, and then I just felt weird. Like, I didn't want to be like a, hey, yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
Because it was really more for just kind of the enjoyment of having my hair worked on, because I like how it, just like a good scalp rub.
Where did you go? Did you go like a black salon and they did it, or you just have...
I had it done. I asked if I was working at Conan at the time, and I asked the hair guy there if he knew someone that could do that. And a woman at SNL who could do it just came to my apartment and did it.
Sick.
Barbara Roman.
It. There was like a network.
She's awesome.
A woman named Barbara did your cornrows.
A black woman named Barbara did my cornrows, yes.
I love that. That's so awesome,
dude.
That's
great.
New America, I love it. It's so great.
It's such an interesting climate.
Right? So you have a new show out.
Congratulations.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I'm just taking this off because this is a super warm
flannel.
It's
like,
warm up here.
Yeah.
What if I just had no shirt underneath?
I'd be like, all right, cool. Yeah. Dad bod, I'm into that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Hitting my demo.
Yeah. I mean, you're in shape, John.
What's
just
that?
Saying.
Yeah,
you're
like
you're in good shape.
You're like a good-looking dad.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
But yeah, I just started a Tumblr. It's called cutedads.hunks. It's a lot of just local dads, and we just love going to the gym and staying fit.
What an interesting Tumblr.
Can you hook me up with some of these local dads, John?
I mean, if you're looking to break up a marriage and have an affair,
no.
These are all like, we're solidly married dudes, man.
I want like a divorcee who's like, who's past it. They're not sad anymore, and they're ready to date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, you deserve that.
That's what I deserve, yeah.
That could either be like, that could be a terrible thing you wish upon someone. Yeah, you deserve that. Divorced dad.
Okay, so you got a new show out called John Glazer Loves Gear.
Mm-hmm.
So what gear are we talking about? Like, what can we see on the show?
There's a wide range of topics. The first one was camping. Second one was cycling.
Camping is trash, John. Yeah, it's trash. Honestly, why would you do that if you could just be like inside? You know what I mean?
Okay. And you just have like your cell phone charger just there.
You could like...
Listen, today's camping, you know, we featured, there was a thing, there was like this stove that has a USB port that you can keep your phone charged.
You could also just use like the stove in your apartment.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you're a big camper, I presume?
When I was a kid, I was. Did a lot of summer camps and overnight camps and big trips out east and out west, backpacking in the Tetons and the Rockies. And as an adult, I have really not.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, one time I went camping with my ex. It was terrible. I hated it.
You went camping. Now, was he your ex when you went camping?
No, we were together.
You were together at the time.
Yeah, that would make it terrible.
That would be really bad. And it was like, it was just like rainy. It was like outdoor. And I just like, I hated that we're outdoors and we're like sleeping on the ground. I was like, this sucks. Where's my mattress? And then, so we get back and to New York and I'm back in my apartment. I'm like washing my hair. I had an afro at the time and a tick flew out of my fro. Onto my shower wall and like never the fuck again.
It's I'm like unsettling. So happy that it revealed itself. Yeah. Like it could have just like stayed or gone down your back, but it was like, no, I was here. You should know. You should know.
Yeah. It was scary. God. Okay. So we got to get out of here, but
no
can
problem.
You give us, you're a comedy wizard. We're two comedy queens. Mm. Is there any advice you can give to us about how we can be even more badass in our comedy
That's
careers?
A great question.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I think my pitch or my answer would be, I mean, let's just do it while I'll do one final stretch. I mean, I think just, you know, stay true. Just stay true to your sensibility. I'm going to hold for 10.
Give it up for John Glazer!
Heard John Glazer and Kevin Avery report it live at the Bell House.
Two Dope Queens is produced by Joanna Solitaroff, Jen Poyant, Paula Schumann, and Rachel Neal. Our team includes Joe Plord, Ed Haber, George Wellington, Jeremy Bloom, Matt Boynton, and Shanoa Estrada. Our theme music was composed by Phoebe's future baby daddy, Jeff Brodsky.
I never heard of Plan B.
That's it, dude. I love it.
And Dadur, just subscribe to our show already. And you know what? Here's a little chow chow. That's a challenge. No one would ever get that chow chow.
Chow chow is like a stretch, but I like love that you were vulnerable in doing it.
If you've already subscribed, get a friend to subscribe. This is like a Ponzi scheme, but no one's going to end up in jail. Okay?
Like, we're not Madoff.
No. This is not going to be a TV movie on HBO that's going to win 8 Emmys. Okay?
It was good. It was good.
Anyway, can you do that for us? We really appreciate it. Truly, subscribers make a difference.
And get on that gram. Follow us at Two Dope Queens for a behind-the-scenes look at our queendom.
Y to the Q to the Y.
Joanna, why would you write that on our copy? So disrespectful. I tried to watch that Madoff movie, and I, like, couldn't follow anything at all.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
Yeah, I just kept getting lost. It was, like, too big to fail. Like, I get the broad strokes, but the little strokes I don't get.
Anyway. You get them little strokes.
Yeah, I do, baby.